You may remember wildfires swept across the town of Lahaina, Maui in early August. They nearly leveled the town and claimed over the lives of 100, with more missing. And as they leveled the town, that included Courthouse Square that has the famous 150-year-old banyan tree there. It's grown 16 trunks and a web of roots. It's about 60 foot high and about a quarter mile long. The white hot fire passed over it, stripping every bit of it, leaving it desolated, made of wood, consumed by fire, and still standing. About 6 weeks later, you may have seen it in the news, brand new shoots were pictured sprouting from the burn tree. What allowed the banyan tree to sprout new life in the very place it had been hurt? What allowed the banyan tree to survive and in its own time thrive despite the harm that had been done to it? Arborists say it had to do with how it was rooted. It's true for the tree, it's true for you, and it's true for me. Let's consider that today, but first a prayer with a long history in this community. Let us pray. Holy God, help us become masters of ourselves that we may become the servants of others. Take our eyes and see through them. Take our ears and hear through them. Take our minds and think through them. And take our hearts and set them on fire. In Christ's name we pray, and all God's people said. In this morning's scripture in the book of Matthew, we join Jesus, who's having kind of an ongoing discussion about what it means to live as a thriving community. Jesus has just finished explaining that the community of faith would devote ourselves to forgiving and renewing relationships. It's like Bishop Desmond Tutu says, "The quality of human life in our planet is nothing more than the sum total of our daily interactions. Forgiveness is the way we mend tears in the social fabric," end quote. I imagine that's why Jesus makes such a call for us in this chapter to work with each other's competitions and insults and wrongdoings, to find the lost ones and the separated ones and to enfold them in love, to work hard at forgiving each other and nurturing the connections between us. So in response, Peter pipes up and says, "So, how often can another hurt me and I have to forgive? Like seven times?" Now, Peter's given a pretty generous offer because rabbinic tradition at the time would say three times will do it if they keep doing it. Then they'll have to take their debts to God on the Day of Atonement. So Peter might say seven, thinking, you know, I've been really generous, but at least there will be a limit. Because I'm guessing Peter knows, like we know, how beautiful connections with other humans can be, and also it can come with hurt. Which means Peter could forgive the hurt done to him, and the person might just do it again. They might apologize and do it anyways, or they might not apologize at all. So Peter wants to be forgiving, but he doesn't want to condone their hurt. He wants to protect himself. Have an out. It seems Peter knows, as do we, maybe with some of the things we carry in here this morning, that real forgiveness feels vulnerable. It can feel exposed. It's like we're saying hurting is okay. Forgiveness comes with a cost. Which is why Jesus' teaching this morning can feel a bit thorny. Jesus responds to Peter and says, not seven, 77. And in that moment, those who were hearing would know that Jesus is turning things upside down. They might remember the scripture that now we find in Genesis 4 about a guy named Lamech who said, anyone who wrongs me, I will come back at them 77 more times. And that's the system he took up to dealing with harm. payback, a system of accounting, of relational payment and repayment. And though it may be softer today, I'm not so sure a relational accounting system has completely changed. Episcopal priest Barbara Brown Taylor puts it this way. She says, imagine you make plans to go to dinner with a friend, and you do a lot to get there. You make a reservation, you get dressed up, you drive a far distance, you arrive early, you get there and you sit and you wait, and you wait and you wait and you wait until you realize you're there alone. You've been stood up. So you pay the bill and leave, and your friend calls you, apologizes profusely, and explains. And you think, oh, I haven't seen him for a long time, and you reschedule only to have it happen again. As the saying goes, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. And we kind of live that. We certainly aren't probably going to try that 77 more times. We'd probably turn our investment of time and energy elsewhere. Taylor suggests that maybe if we admit, quote, we have little calculators in our heads, keeping track of how much we are putting into our relationships versus getting out. Not many of us pursue those with a negative balance. We prefer cost-efficient relationships with a better rate of exchange. We want to get about as much as we give, end quote. We humans can have kind of an accounting system. And that's why we, like Peter, prefer forgiveness to have a debt limit. But consider this. There's also a cost to accounting more and forgiving less. The Journal of Behavioral Medicine shows that failure to practice forgiveness creates risk factors for heart disease, high blood pressure, increased anxiety, depression, insomnia, ulcers, migraines, backaches, heart attacks, and cancer. And the reverse is true. Forgiving can transform these ailments, as well as reducing anger, improving hopefulness, spiritual connection, and confidence. So Jesus then drives this point home at the end of this conversation with another story about forgiveness. You heard it read. At the beginning of the story, the king does this like operational audit and calls in this astronomical debt owed by one of his governors called Slave in the story, who owes market value today about $1.5 billion to the king. Likely accrued through collecting taxes for the king. The servant throws himself on the ground, begs for mercy, and promises to repay an unrepayable debt. And somehow the king is moved. He cancels the debt. He withstands the cost. He chooses to remain in relationship. He wipes the ledger clean, and the servant carries on. Being forgiven of the unforgivable is how Jesus begins the story, because he knows. He knows that forgiveness can transform us, our ailments, our hearts, our lives, so much so that we would be able to forgive another. That's why at the end of the story, Jesus talks about forgiving others from the heart. A transformed, healing heart. And you know this to be true if, like Taylor and like me, you've ever been forgiven by someone near and dear to you. Someone dear to me who my words and actions hurt. Someone I owed and couldn't likely repay enough to make things right. And they took an eraser and slowly and intentionally wiped the ledger clean, a gift of grace I didn't deserve and could not earn, because they wanted to repair, they wanted to stay in relationship, they forgave. And accepting it means you realize how fragile you are. It means realizing how flawed you are, and yet still valued. It leaves you more humble. It leaves you softer and open to forgiving others who are also fragile and flawed like you. And you realize that what seemed too damaged and lost can have something new grow in you and between the two of you. So that's the surprise in the Jesus story. The servant who was forgiven an unforgivable amount of debt was not two steps later unwilling to forgive a debtor and the much lesser debt owed to him. Market value today, about $4,000. Though the debtor who owed him threw himself and begged for the same mercy, the forgiven servant grabbed him by the throat and threw him in jail. So I guess being forgiven never really took root in his mind and in his heart. You see, the king had offered him a different way of life, one rooted in forgiveness, which in turn offers forgiveness. Instead, the forgiven servant was committed and bound to holding on to what was owed him. He kept clutching what was owed him. And so at the end of the story, the king returns the servant to the natural consequences of relational accounting. And he lands him in a torturous debtor's jail. Because when we don't forgive, we too land in a sort of jail, penned in and pinned down, spending our lives trying to get what we feel is due us and protect ourselves from loss. So instead of being free to spend our time and energy attending to each other, we are holding on. Jesus ends his focus, nourishing relationship with this stunning story because he's inviting all of us here and online and beyond. He's inviting you and me to root our lives beyond the ledger. To root your lives in the deep well of forgiveness that he will later stake his very life on and seal into the web of creation through his death and resurrection. So hear it this morning. Hear the invitation to you again this morning that it may come into your minds and your hearts and your souls and your life and take root. That you would come to know and understand that the gift is yours again today. You are forgiven already by a God who has relished in giving you the breath in your lungs and a place on this planet among orange and purple sunsets. By a God who has given you every great laugh you've ever had and every great love you've ever known, from your love of spaghetti to the loves you get to hold in your arms. You are beloved and forgiven by the divine who keeps on giving. When you exceed and when you fail, when fall short, loves you just the same and turns around and forgives you more. The divine one gives and gives and forgives and forgives that which you cannot earn and cannot repay. The one who just keeps erasing the ledger and leveling the score because God does not keep score on you. But instead spends God's time tending to you and loving you. And so through Christ, you are forgiven and free to live and love, and also called to let your life be rooted in that and grown in that and mature in that like a banyan tree with 16 trunks and a web of roots that didn't even crack in the fire because it was rooted deeper than what happened to it. I want to say that again. Because it was rooted in a place deeper than what happened to it, rooted in the groundwater, in the soul of the earth, in the web of creation, and which sustained it until it could heal and grow again. It took its time. It drew from the waters of forgiveness, and then new life sprouted in the very place it was hurt. And you are invited to do the same. To be rooted in a place deeper than what's happened to you or will happen to you, to live your life rooted in a place, the well of God's forgiveness and love for you, and to draw on those roots when you get burned, and then in your own time, forgive, because new life will come. Here's a way to begin today. It's in the Book of Forgiving by Bishop Desmond Tutu and his daughter. It's a fourfold path. You bring to mind that hurt you carry, the one you push aside, the one you haven't named, the one that's eating at you. You name that hurt, you picture that person, that experience. And then first, you tell the story. You just name the facts. You tell it like a reporter. You tell God. You tell a loved one. You tell a journal. It's not too big. It's not too small. You tell the facts. Second, you name the hurt. You don't minimize it. You don't judge it. You don't try to fix it. You name the hurt, and then you sit with it. And then when you're ready, you begin forgiving. You accept the story and the hurt as true. You begin picturing the ones who did it as flawed and fragile humans, and eventually you let go. And your story begins to turn from someone hurt to someone who is healing. Finally, because forgiveness isn't the end, finally, step four, you renew or release the relationship. The hope is always to renew and let new life grow in you and between you. But sometimes, I say sometimes, it is healthy and safe to forgive and release the relationship. Today is a good day to begin forgiving somebody. Today is a good day to begin forgiving somebody. Because, good people of God, today we admit that forgiveness is hard, and it costs, and it's worth it. Because you are rooted in a deep well of love and forgiveness that God has for you. And know this again this morning. That well and love of forgiveness is there for you, and it is deeper than what has happened to you or what will. It is greater than what was happened to you, and it will never, ever, never, ever run dry. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.